Hello, I'm Dr. Richard Friend. Taking control of and improving your health requires the most relevant and timely health information available. And University Medical Center is here to help with facts and advice about important health topics that you care about. We know that your health matters. Welcome to the Health Matters Podcast with your host, Mike Royer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Health Matters on WVUA Television and, of course, also on the podcast and available anytime you want at UMC's, the University Medical Center's website and the WVUA 23 website as well. Our guest today is Dr. Pamela Payne Foster, a preventive medicine physician and instructor at the University of Alabama Medical School. It's good to see you again, Dr. Foster.
Good to see you again as
Thanks
well.
Thanks for joining us. Well, we've all gotten shots this year, more shots than we wanted.
Yes.
And I think maybe we have some good news in that area. You're joining us today to talk about vaccines in general.
Right.
And I have to plead ignorance to the history of vaccines. We've had them as long as I've been alive, but they're
That's
much
correct.
Older than that, right?
Even older than you, Mike, if we can believe that. And so really the importance of them, I know we've been overloaded with COVID-19. Vaccine, and believe it or not, everybody hasn't gotten vaccinated. So that's why I thought today to talk a little bit about the importance of vaccinations.
And does the history really go back a couple of centuries?
When it goes back centuries. I went back all the way to 1700.
Wow.
Yes.
Do you recall what kind of the early vaccines, what they were? Were they for flu or what were they for?
Well, the one that goes back the furthest is smallpox.
Oh.
And Jenner, there were people who had formulated vaccines before, but he was the first one to publish it and really get it out into the scientific community. The name Vaxa comes from cows.
Oh.
It's a Latin word for cows.
Well,
so there was a virus in cows, so he was looking at that. Louis Pasteur, later on, we know that name, of
yes,
course.
Yes, I remember that.
Really sort of refined vaccines, but smallpox really killed a large amount of people,
mm-hmm.
300 to 500 million in the early 20th century. So that's the real message here. If diseases are contagious and deadly, we really need a tool to help us prevent them.
It's no wonder that life expectancies, back in centuries before ours,
mm-hmm.
life expectancies, if you live to be 60, you are really, really an
Doing
old
well.
Person.
Yeah.
And now, thanks to medicine
yes.
and vaccines
right,
too,
right.
we can make it into our 90s pretty
we
regularly.
Can, we can. It's things
can.
Like those tools, like vaccines, yeah. of course, prevent disease, the refrigerator, of course, and some other innovations. But yes, that is the really take-home message. It's the best preventive medicine tool, primary preventive medicine tool that we have to really prevent disease.
Some people, maybe many, I don't know, are reluctant to get suggested vaccines. There's still a lot of the population that hasn't received COVID vaccines at all.
That's correct.
Others, because of their religious beliefs, don't
mm-hmm.
believe in
mm-hmm.
much medicine and certainly not vaccines. But there's overwhelming evidence that you can prevent disease,
yes.
keep people alive longer by
yes.
just following
yes.
the science of vaccines and their value.
And how vaccines work, we usually take an antigen, that's the either bacteria or virus,
mm-hmm.
and then we enter it into the body, and the body has an immune system that makes antibodies, usually antibodies or other immune cells, that fights against it if it recognizes it. So that's what we do. We take the antigen, we introduce it into the body. The body makes antibodies against it so that when they see it again, they will then fight against it.
Take this down to levels that
yes.
News people can understand. What does a vaccine, when given, and it's the right one to fight the right disease, what actually happens in the body? What does it do?
So that's what I was talking about, either the vaccine is killed, a killed virus or a live virus, or in the case of COVID, instead of doing the protein into the body or deactivated protein, we use mRNA technology to make the protein in the body. So once that protein is made in the body then gets this immune system going to recognize it and kill it. So that when it sees it again, so that when you put the vaccine in the body, the antibodies go to work, and so that when you then come in contact with that virus, bacteria again, the body can fight against it. So it's really setting the body up for the immune system to work against that disease.
And generally speaking, a vaccine that a person receives, Does it actually, not the new kind about the COVID, mm-hmm. but does the vaccine actually inject you with a form of that disease to tell your body to fight
it? That's correct. It's usually deactivated, so it's not going to make you sick.
Yeah.
But it's usually either a kill virus, sometimes a live virus, but it's tweaked a little bit. That's the great thing about science now. We can kind of tweak it so that it doesn't affect the person when it goes into the body, but it does recognize it as so that when that virus, the person comes in contact with that virus or bacteria, it will then kill it.
Every flu season, I hear people say, I'm not getting the flu vaccine because that gives you the flu.
Right.
That's impossible.
That's not true.
It just can't happen.
No.
It's not how you get the flu.
I get the flu vaccine every year.
Me too.
We talked about this before, Mike. I have asthma.
Yes.
So I'm at risk for dying from the flu. So I take a flu vaccine every year. And so same thing for same premise. Not so much because we do know that the flu vaccine changes every year.
Yeah.
So what we're doing is taking risk. We're seeing what strain might be out there that year. Not a guarantee. Nothing in medicine is a guarantee, but a really, really good predictive preventive tool. So same thing for, we only have one vaccine now for cancer. Did you know that, Mike?
I knew it was introduced, very expensive. Is the jury still out on its effectiveness?
It's not that expensive. It's for HPV, human papilloma virus.
Uh-huh.
So it's the only vaccine we have that prevents a cancer. That's cervical cancer. So we give it to young boys and girls before they become sexually active, because that's how it's generated in the body. HPV gets into the body through sexual intercourse. So we give it to kids before they become sexually active, and it prevents a high chance of preventing cervical cancer in young men and women. So that's one. Then we've got these viruses. We got the flu, right?
Yep,
we said we have COVID-19. We've got others vaccines that have worked where we've really pretty much eliminated that disease. So smallpox is one. Measles and tetanus across the world, still endemic in certain areas. So if I have to go travel internationally, I might have to get a tetanus shot in order to prevent it if it's endemic in another country.
What are smart folks like you and researchers specifically, are they always working and looking for new vaccines, new
ways? Because remember, it's our only primary prevention tool, right? So we're always chasing diseases if we have to do secondary and tertiary prevention. That's when somebody's already gotten the disease. We want to prevent it from happening. So, I mean, I work in the area of HIV research.
Yep.
We are still looking for an HIV vaccine. And, you know, with the technology that was used for the COVID-19 vaccine, that's probably the way it's going to happen, that mRNA technology.
So there is optimism that that
very
kind
much
of technique
optimism.
Was it somewhat frustrating to you that we came up with COVID vaccines like this and they seem to be working? And you guys have been working on HIV for
decades
now.
That's right, but guess what? We used a lot of resources. We pivoted to COVID-19 because remember, again, it's contagious, very highly contagious, and very deadly. So all the resources was poured into COVID-19, and a lot of the resources that they used came from the HIV work. So we're really excited that we were able to sort of help research, but excited about what it might mean for HIV.
Even when someone is infected with HIV now, your chances of keeping them alive so much better than
so
it was
much
20
better.
Years ago?
There's this saying we call treatment is prevention. So that again, that's secondary and tertiary prevention.
Yeah.
But we do have a primary prevention tool called PrEP in HIV now. It's not a vaccine, but we can give it to a person who's HIV negative, who's at risk for HIV, and they can take a daily pill. But we're excited. We just got FDA approved for an injection, a PrEP injection that's given every 2 months. So a person doesn't even have to take a pill.
Dr. Foster, let's end with this. For people out there that are confused about vaccines, don't know what they should get, don't know what their children should get, I'm assuming start with your primary physician, but what are the smart questions to ask and to make sure you understand when you speak to your physician?
So first of all, you're really weighing out the risk and benefits of the vaccine. There are some risks sometimes with getting a vaccine, allergic reactions, et cetera, but the benefits are just far outweigh especially with COVID, with it being so contagious and so deadly, very deadly. I have friends who have died from it. So we really want to outweigh the risk and the benefits, and that's the take-home message.
Well, we need more good doctors like you and the others at UMC to keep us all healthy and alive, and the information you share with us is very, very helpful. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Pamela Payne Foster, one of our favorite guests on Health Matters. Thanks again.
To learn more from us about these and other important health topics, visit cchs.ua.edu. And for all your primary health care needs, visit University Medical Center with locations in Tuscaloosa, Northport, Demopolis, Fayette, and Carrollton. Thanks for listening.